Hello, and welcome to Silver Threads, a weekly program of information on how you can make your senior year shine. I'm Kathy Van Skoik. The website Very Well has published a number of recent articles on dementia and Alzheimer's disease, which I'll be reading over this week and next. They touch on areas that I've not been aware of before, including apathy, and present a comprehensive study of these issues that affect so many seniors. Whether you have some concerns for yourself, a spouse, another family member, or just want to be appraised of some of the most recent information, these articles are for you. All written by Esther Hirima, MSW, and reviewed by a physician. I'll begin today with 18 Myths About Alzheimer's Disease and Dementia, February 2018, Personality Changes in Alzheimer's, Examples, Causes, and Coping, from August 2017, and Recognizing Apathy as a Possible Warning Sign of Dementia, published November 2017. So, 18 Myths About Alzheimer's Disease and Dementia. Certain myths around Alzheimer's can spike misunderstanding and even fear around the condition. So, myth number one, dental fillings cause Alzheimer's. While some amalgam fillings may contain a small amount of mercury along with other types of metal, the thought that this could affect brain health has not been supported by research. The Alzheimer's Association notes that, according to the best available scientific evidence, there is no relationship between silver dental fillings and Alzheimer's. Unless scientific research comes out that reaches a different conclusion, you're better off focusing simply on keeping your teeth clean and healthy. In fact, some research shows that brushing your teeth can go a long way towards saving your brain. Aluminum pans cause Alzheimer's. Most research has not demonstrated a connection between aluminum and Alzheimer's, although a couple of studies have called that conclusion into question. Aluminum is found naturally in the earth, so while it has been found in the brains of people with Alzheimer's disease, the association is questionable. Many scientists recommend focusing instead on other ways to reduce your risk of dementia, such as focusing on the risk factors that you have clear control over. If you forget something, you must be getting dementia? No. While memory loss can be a sign of Alzheimer's and other types of dementia, it can also be an indicator of a reversible condition that needs treatment. Additionally, in some types of dementia, such as frontotemporal dementia, memory may remain pretty functional in the early stages. Another myth, Alzheimer's disease is worse than dementia. People might be relieved at receiving a diagnosis of dementia, thinking that's better than Alzheimer's disease. While it's understandable to feel relief at being able to call those symptoms a different name, it's important to understand the diagnosis. Alzheimer's disease is one type of dementia. If you're not sure what kind of dementia you or your loved one has, ask the doctor so that you will know more about what to expect and what you can do in response to a diagnosis. Next myth, memory loss is an expected and normal part of aging. After our 20s, some decline in speed and memory can be expected, but in general, cognitive functioning remains about the same as you age. It's not normal to struggle to remember basic things like how to make a pot of coffee or where you live. Being aware of the early signs of dementia can help you differentiate between normal memory loss and warning signs that you should discuss with your physician. Flu shots cause Alzheimer's? A physician, whose license was later suspended, suggested a theory that concluded that flu shots were linked to a much greater risk of Alzheimer's disease. However, since then, there is no research that supports this idea. Instead, one study found a decreased risk of Alzheimer's disease in those who had received a flu vaccination. Additionally, other research has concluded that flu shots are correlated with a decreased risk of all-cause death. It's just mean to tell someone they have dementia. Well, there's a thought out there that goes like this. You shouldn't tell a person that the doctor has diagnosed him with dementia because it will only make him upset. He's better off not knowing. This kind of thinking is so common that more than half of people with Alzheimer's are not being told their diagnosis, according to the Alzheimer's Association. While talking with someone about a diagnosis of Alzheimer's, vascular dementia, or Lewy body dementia is difficult, withholding a diagnosis is typically not the solution and often compounds the problem. Ethically, the person has the right to be aware of their diagnosis. Additionally, being informed as early as possible about a dementia diagnosis can help make wise choices about her care and her future. Not telling a loved one or patient that they have dementia is perhaps easiest at the moment, but it is not the right approach. Only old people get dementia? Well, while the risk of dementia increases significantly with age, there are also some people who are younger than 65 who develop it. The Alzheimer's Association estimates that approximately 200,000 people are living with early-onset dementia in the United States. Early-onset, or younger-age dementia, often affects people in their 40s or 50s, and it has a different set of challenges since many of these individuals are working and have families that they are raising at this time. Support groups can be encouraging for those with early-onset dementia, as well as for their family and friends. Some of the more common types of younger-onset dementia include early-onset Alzheimer's disease, frontotemporal dementia, HIV/AIDS-associated dementia, Huntington's disease, and Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. Another myth, aspartame causes Alzheimer's. The idea that aspartame, the sugar substitute, causes Alzheimer's disease has been spread around through emails and social media, but there's little science to back this claim. The Alzheimer's Association considers this claim to be a myth and states that the FDA has not found any scientific evidence to support the idea. There has been some research, however, that unfortunately concluded that high consumption of sugar may not be so healthy for our brains. Next, visiting a person with dementia isn't worth it because they'll quickly forget you were there. This myth is incorrect in many ways. First, sometimes the visit is beneficial for you, not just the person living with dementia. Second, dementia affects people differently. While it impacts short-term memory for some, other people might have a harder time with word-finding and decision-making skills, but remember that you visited with them. And third, research says that the feelings created by the visit often last longer than the specific memory of the visit. In other words, long after you leave, and even if the person has forgotten that you were there, the good feelings that come from sitting down together for a cup of coffee and a chat may remain. Next, your parents have dementia, so you will too. There's nothing you can do to change that. Well, yes and no. There are only a few hundred people known to have familial Alzheimer's disease where a deterministic gene, a gene that causes the disease rather than just makes it more likely to develop for Alzheimer's, is passed down from parent to child. In others, there's a higher risk if your parents have dementia. However, not everyone who has a parent with dementia will develop dementia themselves. Science has found that often there appear to be many factors that contribute to the risk of dementia. In fact, one study concluded that 9 factors were all modifiable, typically able to be affected by lifestyle and health choices, and accounted for the majority of all dementia cases. Therefore, even if you're at an increased risk for genetics and family history, there's still a lot you can do to decrease your risk. Coconut oil can cure Alzheimer's disease? Well, coconut oil has been cited as a way to prevent and treat Alzheimer's. However, we're still waiting on research to back up this claim. There have been a few people that have cited examples of a loved one dramatically improving after taking coconut oil. While these stories are encouraging, thus far, scientific research studies have not confirmed this. There's one study being conducted by the USF Healthy Byrd Alzheimer's Institute of the University of South Florida that is addressing this question, and many are eager to hear the results. Next, you can successfully treat Alzheimer's. Someday, this will hopefully be true. Currently, however, we have only 4 medications that have been approved by the FDA to treat Alzheimer's disease, and at best, they give a slight pause in the progression of the disease. Next, there's no use going to the doctor because nothing can be done. Well, let's imagine that you have taken the SAGE at-home dementia screening test out of Ohio State University, and it indicates a concern with your cognitive abilities. Why even go to the doctor? There's no cure for Alzheimer's, so why pay money to hear a physician confirm that you have dementia? Here's why. Not only are there many benefits to early detection of dementia, but the physician can also conduct other tests to determine if there are reversible and treatable causes instead of dementia for your symptoms. You can prevent dementia. Well, while you can't prevent dementia 100%, the key here is that we absolutely can reduce our chances of getting dementia through eating a healthy diet, physical exercise, and mental activity. However, we can't conclusively prevent Alzheimer's and other types of dementia from occurring. Not yet. Life isn't worth living if you have dementia. Dementia is a life-changing diagnosis, and it's often associated with many challenges and losses. However, it's still possible to facilitate quality of life for people who have dementia. Several research studies have been conducted both by observation and by direct interviews with people who are living with dementia to identify specific ways to improve their quality of life. It can be encouraging to hear of others who are able to live with meaning and joy despite a diagnosis of dementia. People with dementia become like children and respond well to being treated that way. Because you might need to adjust how you speak to someone who has dementia, some people think that using baby language, speaking in a high-pitched voice, using terms of endearment instead of names, and approaching the person as if they were a child is helpful. The truth? It's not. This practice has been termed elder speak. It's patronizing and can be correlated in research with an increase in challenging behaviors in people with dementia. Scientists really don't want to find a cure for dementia because they're making money from the disease. This theory has been proposed by some who are convinced that there's a conspiracy by drug companies and researchers to avoid finding a way to successfully treat and prevent Alzheimer's and other kinds of dementia. The fact is that there are several medical researchers who are devoting their entire medical career to finding a way to defeat Alzheimer's. Some of them are dedicated to this cause, not just for professional reasons, but also for personal reasons due to loved ones living with the disease. And while pharmacy companies do have a large financial stake here, they stand to benefit far more if a way to successfully treat Alzheimer's was developed. Although corruption and hidden motives are plenty, this theory can be rejected. Many physicians, researchers, and organizations, such as the Alzheimer's Association, are working tirelessly with the goal of treating and curing Alzheimer's disease one day. And a word from Verywell. It's easy to understand how myths about diseases develop and then are shared with others through social media and conversations. Arm yourself with accurate knowledge about Alzheimer's disease so that you can help promote dignity and acceptance rather than stigma and fear. And now from Verywell, also personality changes in Alzheimer's, examples, causes, and coping, also by Esther Harima. Personality changes. When most people think of Alzheimer's disease, the symptoms that typically come to mind are those relating to cognitive functioning, memory loss, word-finding difficulties, poor judgment, indecisions, and disorientation regarding the day, time, or place. While these are hallmarks of Alzheimer's and other dementias, there's another symptom that can be challenging for family and friends to cope with: personality changes. Examples. Personality changes don't always develop, but they are a frequent result of Alzheimer's disease and other types of dementia, and one that can be hard to accept for loved ones. Some examples of personality changes include: Frida has been the most caring, friendly, and positive woman around. She always wants to know how others are doing and how she can help. Since she developed Alzheimer's, she no longer asks people how they're doing and seems to just ignore them all. Instead, if anyone asks how she's doing, she constantly complains. Sam, who has always adored his wife and been faithful to her, now makes sexual advances to the nurse's aides who care for him. Fred, a retired psychologist who had a very successful practice, now makes rude and cruel comments to those around him. One of his strengths before Alzheimer's had been his kindness and ability to relate to others. Sally is a deeply religious woman who has always been careful with her words. She now frequently fills her conversation with offensive, foul language. And Martha, the matriarch of the family, has been the informal social director of the extended family, frequently organizing reunions. Now that she has Alzheimer's, she shows no interest in getting the relatives together. When someone else coordinates it, she is apathetic and no longer seems to care about connecting with the family. Causes of personality changes in dementia. There are several possible causes of personality changes. The most prevalent cause is related to the changes that happen in the brain, which affect a person's characteristics and personality. The brain is actually physically changed by Alzheimer's disease, with parts of it atrophying and other areas becoming malformed, twisted, or clumped together. Other causes can include confusion, too much noise or activity, a lack of inhibition for the person's impulses, poor judgment, anxiety, fear, depression, the effects of medications, and delusions. How to cope with personality changes in dementia? First, remind yourself that the changes are due to the disease. She is not purposely trying to hurt your feelings or annoy you. Don't argue with him. It won't help. Focus on her feelings, not her words. Set reasonable expectations. Use redirection and distraction instead of attempting to reason with the person. Address any physical, environmental, or psychological causes of challenging behaviors. And if the personality change is sudden, you may need to contact the physician to consider if the change suddenly happens to be caused by delirium. And now another word from Very Well. Sometimes personality changes in dementia can be frustrating or feel hurtful for loved ones. In these situations, it can be helpful to understand why these changes develop and how to respond. Taking a deep breath and remembering that the changes are often a part of the disease can help you continue to treat your loved one with compassion, kindness, and dignity. And finally, recognizing apathy as a possible warning sign of dementia. Apathy is often present in Alzheimer's disease and other types of dementia. Sometimes it can be an early warning sign of, or even a risk factor for, dementia. But what exactly is apathy, and how is it different from depression? Apathy is a lack of interest or motivation that can be observed in a person's affect or mood, behavior, and cognition. Apathy is one of several symptoms of depression, but it can occur without depression as well. It's important to note that apathy is not the same as depression. People with apathy don't typically have feelings of sadness or hopelessness. They might simply appear or feel uninterested, disengaged, or unexcited. Three types of apathy in dementia. First, affective apathy. This type of apathy involves a lack of emotions, the appearance of indifference, and the absence of empathy. The person may appear not to care about others or lack the warmth with which he used to greet you. He might appear unaffected emotionally, rarely showing happiness or sadness about what's happening around him. Affective refers to mood and emotions. Behavioral apathy. Apathy in behaviors includes physical inactivity and tasks left uncompleted. Someone experiencing behavioral apathy might not walk around very much at home and ignore tasks such as housekeeping or laundry, even though she is physically able to perform them. Cognitive apathy. Cognitive apathy includes the lack of initiating speech and mental activity, and the absence of interest in others' activities. If you're experiencing cognitive apathy, you might need prompting in conversation and may appear zoned out or uninterested in what's occurring around you. Apathy and dementia. Research has shown that apathy is quite prevalent in dementia. Specifically, one study found that 56% of the study's participants with an Alzheimer's diagnosis were apathetic, while 72% of the participants with frontotemporal dementia demonstrated apathy. Apathy is also common in progressive supranuclear palsy and vascular dementia. Increased apathy has been correlated with a decline in functioning, such as in the activities of daily living, and in cognition in those with dementia. The brains of those who demonstrate apathy also show greater changes, including greater atrophy, neurofibrillary tangles, and white matter changes. Apathy has been tied to the development of dementia in those who have Parkinson's disease. The relationship between Parkinson's and apathy may be complicated, however, since a flat facial expression is one symptom of Parkinson's. Some research also found that in those with mild cognitive impairment, the presence of apathy was a predictor of progression to dementia. In other words, apathy was a risk for further cognitive decline. While apathy is often not as difficult to cope with as other challenging behaviors in dementia, such as hoarding, paranoia, or agitation, it can affect the individual's quality of life, safety, and ability to live independently. Apathy without dementia. In general, the presence of apathy has been correlated with lower cognitive functioning. For example, one study found that apathy in older adults with normal cognition was associated with worse performance on cognitive tests, despite still falling into the normal category of cognition. However, other research points out that apathy is not uncommon for older adults in general, including those whose cognition is intact and those with impaired cognition. Responding to apathy in dementia. Like many of the challenging behaviors in dementia, apathy should first be identified and treated with non-pharmaceutical approaches. Individualized activities. Some research has demonstrated that apathy in dementia can be successfully reduced through programmed interventions. For example, one study found a significant difference in the level of apathy in nursing home residents with dementia who were involved in activities once a week for 10 months, as compared to a group of residents who were not involved in those activities. Offering and engaging the person in meaningful activities is important to ward off apathy. Remember that what is meaningful for one person might not be meaningful for the next. Thus, a person-centered approach is a must to be able to identify and target the interests of each person. Sports. The inclusion of sports in therapeutic activities has also been connected with a reduction in apathy. Sports memories often go way back to childhood and may provide a strong stimulus to fight apathy. Reminiscing. People with dementia often struggle with loneliness and boredom. which can contribute to apathy. Take a few minutes to sincerely chat with someone could be helpful in reducing apathy, and reminiscing can be an effective way to increase engagement and reduce apathy. Music and art. Research has also shown that music and art are effective ways to engage with someone with dementia who appears apathetic. You will want to research what his or her favorite music has been throughout her life and find a recording of those songs to play. And be flexible. When looking for the right type of activity to ward off apathy, it's important to be flexible and evaluate if the activity is providing periods of success and joy to the person, or if it's too overwhelming and needs to be broken down or adjusted further. And medications. Finally, although non-drug approaches are generally preferred, research has also shown some benefit from acetylcholine esterase inhibitors for improving apathy in dementia. And another word from Very Well? When we notice the signs of apathy in ourselves or a loved one, it may be helpful to evaluate if other signs of dementia are present. Early diagnosis of dementia is important for early treatment and planning for the future. Additionally, understanding how to respond to apathy in dementia may help with the goal of providing quality of life for those living with dementia. Well, I hope this information has added to your understanding of dementia and Alzheimer's. Next week's articles will include chronic stress related to an increased risk of dementia, 13 ethical dilemmas in Alzheimer's and other dementias, and 9 things to learn from people who are living with dementia. Thanks for listening today, and until next week, I'm Kathy Van Skoik. You've been listening to Silver Threads, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Kathy Van Skoik. I hope you will join me again next week for more information and updates for making the best of your silver years. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.